Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
It's not quite there. We've been going through our Advent series. So again, we're in our second week now. We've been looking at some of our favorite Christmas carols and then kind of pressing and digging down into the scripture behind them and taking a look at maybe some of the deeper meaning. And so last week we looked at O Come, Emmanuel. I love that. I love that song. If you weren't here with us, those are posted online. Then you can kind of catch up. And I know as I look at this week, last week was just crazy busy. It was one of those weeks you say, how can we add one more thing to this? You know what I'm talking about? And yet we kept adding things to it. But, you know, I kind of had to kind of take a moment, that eye of the storm moment, and kind of talk to myself. And what I want to encourage everybody is for the next several weeks is to talk to yourself. And when I say talk to yourself, as things get busier, talk to yourself about keeping your focus on what really matters, on the real meaning, God with us. I like how that we did that at the very beginning, God with us. And so as you're going through all the events that you do, I mean, from we're about to have concerts and sporting events and tournaments and shopping and all of these different things, welcome God's presence with you. And it really does make a difference. Instead of going into something half frazzled and just, you know what? God's here, and I'm here for a reason, and I'm here for a purpose. And because Emmanuel, because God is with us, it's more than just, you know, getting done what you need to be done. And when you adopt that mindset, I bet you're going to find some divine encounters. I bet you're going to find some secret gems. I bet you're going to find some hidden things that maybe you miss when we, as we all do, and I'm very guilty of this, look at it and say, I'm tired of saying, I can't wait till New Year. You know, I'm tired of that. And certainly, so, you know, let's all just take a chill pill and just calm down, take a breath, and remember, God is with us. So in everything that we do, let's do it with the heart of Christ at the forefront of our mind. So today we're going to examine our next song. And I was asking, actually I asked Jenny just a minute ago, I said, Jenny, what's your favorite Christmas carol? And she said, I love so many. You know, I can't possibly choose a favorite. And some people have a favorite. And I know that I like some obscure ones. But today is probably one of the most popular that we're going to look at. Hark, the herald angels sing. But I'm going to kind of lump three of them together. Also, angels we have heard on high and angels from the realm of glory. We got all. So today we're going to talk about the angel song. Okay, we're going to talk about all the angels, but not just the angel song. They all are given their message from a very important scripture that we're going to look at. So let's look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. We're going to press into one particular verse that's going to seem really obscure right now. This is kind of a different message than you may have heard before. But let's look at Luke 2, 8 through 14. Let's all read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. I think a couple years ago we really pressed into verse 14. But today I kind of want to look at a different verse. And how many of you have ever seen the TV show Undercover Boss? You ever seen that undercover boss where you have a CEO and the CEO decides to go into his company and take a small entry level position and see how it goes? And then, you know, usually there's some funny things, or the CEO doesn't know how the ordinary common people work. And then there's always that gotcha moment when they realize that their decisions have impacted, you know, all the little small people in the corporation. Well, what I want to tell you this is, some people kind of use that as their thought, the same type of thing, where that God somehow was sending Jesus so that he could understand humanity. No. God was sending Jesus because he understood humanity. He was not going on a fact-finding mission. He already had all the facts, everything together. And so there was a purpose and there was a reason in which Christ was sent. He came to earth not to understand, but because he already did understand. And he came as a servant, but also as so much more. And for this reason, there was no gotcha moment, but rather the opposite. His arrival was not a secret. His arrival was foretold. And it was also, as we just read in Luke 2, it was heralded by the angels. And so today we're going to look at this message from the angels, and I'm going to focus on a portion of scripture that you probably have not pressed in on. So we're going to have a sermon today on the first four words of Luke 2:8. Okay, of Luke 2:8. Let's all read the first four words there. And in the same region. I'm sorry, five words. And in the same region. I told you it was a busy week. The first five words, and in the same region. Have you ever, because most of it, I got to tell you, as I did some research this week, I've never stopped at those. I just wanted to get onto the angels. Anybody else? I just wanted to get onto what the message, or get onto the glitz. So why did Luke, the good doctor, stop and say, and in the same region? Okay, so it's important enough that we kind of have a GPS pin dropped. And so now we got to kind of look at this GPS pin and say, why are we specifying that in this same region? Okay, well, let's look about, if we look through history, biblical history, there's several events that happen in this same region in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Because several of the Gospels give these lengthy lineages, and they list all these people who are in the line, who are family members prior to Christ, okay? And so let's kind of go back. We look at Jacob. How many of you remember Jacob? Jacob wanted to marry Rachel, and so he worked a number of years, and then he got to the wedding night. And Rachel's father swapped the bride. I'm telling you what, if you go into a wedding and you celebrate so hard that you don't know which person you married, you done did something wrong, okay? That's another sermon. That's a New Testament sermon, but we're not going to do there. Goodness gracious. And then he comes to and realizes, wait a minute here, you're not who I thought I was going to marry. And so he works another number of years and finally gets Rachel. And then there's all this stress and strife and inability to bear children for a while. And then we find finally that Rachel, she has Joseph, and then she conceives and she's giving birth to Benjamin on the way to Bethlehem, and she dies. Genesis 35, verse 19, in the same region. Ruth, how many of you love the book of Ruth? Ruth is a wonderful story. Ruth and, Naomi and Elimelech, they are from Bethlehem, and famine hits, and so they leave with their young sons to escape the famine. And then, upon Naomi's return, after tragedy had struck, she's with her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And it was in this same region that Ruth meets Boaz. Ruth chapter 4, verse 11. The prophet Samuel is sent to find a king upon Jesse's sons in 1 Samuel 16, and he goes to Bethlehem in this same region. The king, or the boy shepherd David, is anointed king of Israel, 1 Samuel 16:13, in this same region. So it's got so much to do with kingship. It has got so much to do with promise. It's got, there's something big in this region. In fact, the prophets had spoke about this same region. Micah 5:2. Okay, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are little to be among the clans of Judah. Okay, so this is an insignificant place. This is a small place. From you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. In other words, this was the purpose. In this region, something's going on. It's like I'm putting a GPS coordinate that something's going to happen here. We've had a whole lot of things, but a ruler is going to come from here. Now, if we look at this promise, it's talking about from this place, a Messiah. The Messiah will come. In fact, if this seemingly insignificant area, if we break the word Bethlehem down, we have Beth, which means house. Have you ever heard of like Bethel? That means El is like El Shaddai, El Elyon. It's a name of God. So house of God. Bethel means house of God. But now we have Bethlehem. And Lehem means bread. So this is the house of bread. Well, that's kind of an odd name. I've heard of house of pancakes. What are we talking about here? We're not talking about IHOP. We're talking about something different. What do we know about bread? Bread is common, but bread is also necessary. If I begin to talk about food, how many of you are going to get hungry? And if you don't eat, you're going to get hangry. A lot of times that happens midway through our message when I talk about it. How many of you love to just, after church, you're going to go have a meal or something, family, that's stuff? Or have you had your breakfast time before? Can I talk about food and make you all really hungry? And if you don't eat all day, I try not to eat actually in the morning because it kind of messes with me. So I kind of, by the time that 12 o'clock comes, I'm ready to get home. Even though my body can sustain for, you know, a while without eating, mine especially, I can go a long time. The body, we need bread, our daily bread, right? It's something that's for us. And so from the house of bread, bread is common, but it's also essential. And if we think about this, look what Jesus, because it's not just some weird thing that happens when Jesus claims a certain title for himself. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, we see that what has just happened contextually is that Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish and had 12 baskets left over. Then, I mean, that's really something now, isn't it? I've seen some, there was one year we hosted the Thanksgiving dinner and we prepared, I think we prepared for 100 and something because we had 70 sign up and like 200 showed up. By the way, just a little public service announcement. When we say sign up, there's a reason. It's not we really want to have enough food. Because some of us can eat, right? Okay, so what we do is when we have Jesus who feeds this many people and it's an amazing thing. 12 baskets left over. Then that's a miracle, right? Then he walks on water. Is that a miracle? They're looking for him. They're like, wait, a boat. He wasn't in the boat and he's on the other side. And we have witness testimony about that he walked on water. It's a pretty amazing thing. So the crowd catches up to him and the crowd presses in. And you know what the crowd says? Give us a sign. Ouch. He says, give us a sign. And here's what Jesus says to them. John 6, 32 through 36. Then Jesus said to them, come on! No, that's not what he said. That's my translation. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the what? True bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, sir, give us this bread. He's like, you morons. Okay. And Jesus said to them, hey, gang, I am the bread. And he's born in Bethlehem. Oh, little town of house of bread. Doesn't have as good a ring now, does it? I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said that you have seen me and yet do not believe. After he just fed them this miraculous feeding, and then after he's walked on water, he's done miracles after miracles. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Gang, this brings me to our first point. Three quick points today. Number one, about when we're singing the song of the angels, what is it really saying? What is it really pointing to that here in Bethlehem, Jesus is born? Is one, that he is the bread of life. It's fitting that he comes from Bethlehem, the house of bread, because he is essential and because we need him. He is more necessary than bread. And I'm using bread figuratively. We need Christ more than we need our daily food. And most of us eat at least three times a day. I laugh at my son because he eats like five or six times a day. And I can only eat once a day. And that jerk, he just burns calories more than me. So the point is, we have to do things, gang. We have to understand that he is more necessary than our bread. And that's one of the reasons why it's important that when we come down and we sit at a table, we give thanks. Yes, we give thanks for our food. Yes, it's important for us. I mean, in the book of Acts, they talk about how it's important. It's important that when we come together, when we break bread, we realize there's something more, that he is more important, necessary than our bread, and that the birth of Christ transcends our natural needs. It really does. How many of you have ever recognized, or you've ever had somebody come and say, "Oh, I'm starving." Really? Oh, really? You're starving? Oh, if I don't eat, I'm going to die. Really? We don't quite get it here. Do we? If we really got it, we'd recognize that Christ is more important than our daily bread. He is bread from our Father in heaven. And this is what inspired Charles Wesley to write, "Christ, the highest heaven adored, Christ, the everlasting Lord, late in time, 400 silent years had gone by, late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel." Hark, the herald angels sing glory to the newborn king. He is the bread of life. Next thing that we understand, if we look at Micah 5:2 and this prophecy, this promise that was given about Bethlehem, okay? Oh, Bethlehem. Is that Bethlehem was known for something else. Now, in this time in Jewish culture, when they would come to Jerusalem, they would come to Jerusalem to the temple to sacrifice. And there were rules about sacrifice. And so they would need to bring a lamb. Now, many people, however, didn't want to travel the lengthy journey to Jerusalem with a lamb for the sacrifice. And so, there was a place where they raised lambs according to the law and watched over them so that travelers from far away could come to this place and purchase a lamb and take it in to Jerusalem. Do you know where this place was? In this same region of Bethlehem. Bethlehem was known for raising sheep for the temple sacrifice. Now, according to the law, the time that the sheep, that they were used for the offerings, these sheep had rules. They had to be a year old male sheep, and they had to have been outside. Everybody say outside. For 365 days, they were not allowed to be taken into the cave. Now, older lambs, or lambs that were not going to be used for the sacrifice, during this time of year is the nasty winter months where it's raining and it's not really good outside. And so if they were not to be used, if they were common sheep, not uncommon sheep, they could take them into a cave and they could themselves seek shelter. Not these lambs. These sheep needed to remain outside, and guess what? If the sheep stayed outside, guess who had to stay outside with them? The shepherd. And so the shepherds had to endure the rainy season. So these individual shepherds, whom the angels appeared to in this region, had a special task. These sheep could not have defects or blemish. In other words, they needed a constant watchful eye of the shepherd. No broken legs, no injuries, no scars. So the shepherds had to keep a watchful eye on their sheep to make sure that they were a fitting sacrifice. And so, there's a gentleman named Alfred Edersheim. And he was a scholar in the 1800s. He was a Jewish individual. And he, in his study of Scripture, he became a Christian. And he wrote a phenomenal book called The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah in multiple volumes. And deep-seated in Jewish tradition, in writings called the Mishnah, which was a gathering of the oral traditions, there had arisen a belief that the Messiah was going to be revealed from a specific place, the Migdal Eder, which is called the Tower of the Flock. This Tower of the Flock, near Bethlehem, was on a high area where they could keep, the shepherds could keep watch of the flock. It's mentioned in Micah chapter 4. Now, many scholars, they believe, and biblical archaeologists believe, that this is the place where the angels made their appearance to the shepherds. I want you to think about that. Jesus, the announcing of Jesus' birth, was where the shepherds were raising sheep for the sacrifice to cover the sins of the people. The angel showed up there and said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Do you get it? He's born in the house of bread. He's born in the place where the sheep are raised for the sacrifice. God's anointed Messiah, the Lamb of God, has come, which inspired Charles Wesley to write, "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth." The word peace means a joining together of two things that were separate. Peace on earth and mercy, mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, all ye nations rise. Why all ye nations? Because the promise of Jesus is for all people. Join the triumph of the skies with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in the house of bread, Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. So my second point for us today as we kind of wrap this up is that He is the Lamb of God. In John 1:29, John the Baptist is baptizing individuals, and the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." You see the titles of Jesus that are wrapped into his birth? Who takes away the sins of the world. Gang, angelic witness was given to the significance of Christ's birth. Now, my question is this. All of these things happened. How was it forgotten in a 30-year span until Jesus began his ministry? How did all this get forgotten? Why wasn't this at the forefront of their minds? Look, gang. I've lived here long enough that we have some sports heroes and people can talk about, "Well, I remember back in 51, this person did this and they scored 150 points and blah." Okay, great. And people still remember that stuff. You remember when you scored the winning touchdown? You remember when you hit the winning free throw? Remember when we were state champs? Remember, right? We remember this stuff. Remember when they backed into my car and blah, blah, blah. And yet, all of these things happen around the birth of Christ. And everybody's like, "Well, I wonder who he is. Isn't he the carpenter's son?" I don't know how Gomer Pyle showed up in Bethlehem, but okay. Nazareth. So gang, here's the deal. They missed it. I mean, somehow they missed it. Now, they gathered back around. Obviously, it was gathered back around. It was written, but at the time. And I think that we... And this is why I gave you the edification at the beginning of the message. Don't miss it. Don't miss the significance of all these events. Don't miss it. Are we like those who saw the loaves and the fishes, the walking on the water, and we still don't believe? These events have been vetted for thousands of years and they are still treated with a great level of trustworthiness. So let's look at the message of the angels and conclude our message. Here's what the angel said. I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then the angels go on to say, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Consider the announcements of the angels. Again, it's for all people that a Savior is born. And then he comes up to this. Because of this great announcement that glory to God in the highest. My final point is this. He's worthy to be worshipped. He is worthy to be worshipped with a passion. I mean, I'm telling you what. The angels couldn't hold back. We got to go. We got to go. We got to go proclaim this. And here we are now the partakers of that message. It should do something for you, y'all. It should do something for you. You shouldn't have to hype yourself up about what Christ has done for you. For all people. For all people. My final question for us is, if this event caused the angels to worship and sing, what is it doing for you? What is it doing for you? I fear that we have so removed the miracle of Christ that it's no longer personal. For unto you. For unto you. Listen, the angel said, for unto you. I want that to sink in for us all today. Unlike the undercover boss who went and discovered issues and enlightened, Jesus knew fully you. And he came to remedy every issue that you face. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ. He's the bread of life. He's the Lamb of God. And he's here for you. Let's all stand to our feet. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you so much for these wonderful hidden mysteries in your word that we see. They challenge us. They bless us. They inspire us. And I pray, God, as we go through this time, this journey together, preparing our hearts to celebrate and to remember your birth. Lord, I pray that throughout the busyness of the next couple of weeks, we could just take that moment of pause. We could take a breath and we could remember what it's really all about. That you love us so much that you want eternity with us. Thank you that you are more necessary than our daily bread and that you as the Lamb of God have taken away the guilt of all of our sin through your atoning sacrifice. Don't let us go through this time and become totally oblivious to the greater truths. Make it personal, Father, through your Holy Spirit. And let that revelation in our lives inspire us to live our lives in a worthy manner. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offer for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.